Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Mirdad. It's great to be back with you. It's been several years since I've at least been in this room with you folks. And I'm very happy to see the direction you're taking things, so congratulations. Before I begin, I often ask groups, audiences, to tune in and ask yourselves, what is it that's not happening? What is it that's a primary concern? What is it that keeps looping around and you keep going over and over that's not healing, that's not clearing? What is it in your life that is of primary concern? Because when we come to places like that, we're supposed to be receiving answers. We're supposed to be getting somewhere, you know, not just attending. We're supposed to be getting somewhere. So let's make sure that you leave with some answers, as you should every Sunday for that matter. Anyone in a word want to summarize where your soul would take us if you put it in a word, your primary concerns? What are you looking to hear or learn about? What are you wanting more of in your life? Health? Time? What are the primary challenges, guys? Stress?
Retirement?
Yes, you will one day retire. See, I told you you'd get answers. I never said they were going to be good ones. Motivation. What do you struggle with? Abundance. Joy. Anger. Pardon? Patience. Peace. What was the one? Good. Okay, clarity. Then that's where we're going to go. We find ourselves sometimes dealing with angry people. Remember, angry people are actually never just angry. They first had to have gotten tired. They had to have gotten to a point of being fed up, not getting answers, not knowing what direction to go, too much abuse, not being heard, being shut down excessively. What we classify as things going on in the world are never just what they seem to be. That person's a sad person. That person's an angry person. That person's depressed. That person's bipolar. None of these things are ever just anything. They all have gotten to that place only after something has gone too far. And every human being has had feelings to that extreme. They may not all be clinical, meaning they may not all be diagnosed. They may not all be medicated, although they should be probably medicated. But people never are just what they are. God never said, I'm going to create you to be amazing. You? I'm not in the mood. It never happened like that. You were never just tossed in, you know, as sometimes old-fashioned, old-school religious superstitions told us. Well, it's your fate. That's the way God made you. And we've even had people channel books because they knew no better. That's what came through them. That's just the way it was, and you just happened to be created that way because they didn't go any deeper. God tries to come through us, but we have filters. So if we're not able to open our minds up to greater consciousness, then greater things don't come through. So in this moment, we learn to recognize, wow, if this room is a microcosm of planet Earth, you know, this is pretty cool. There's some these kinds of people and that. Some are more artistic, some are more analytical. Our destiny is not to be defined by a mask. I'm the pretty child. I'm the smart one. We're not supposed to be limited by any masks. All the masks are covering up the core of something inside of us we do not like. That's all. The masks, even anger, depression, and some of the words you guys gave, even those can be masks. And we learn to start dropping the masks. The anger mask, the defensive mask, the reactive mask, the pretty mask, the intelligent mask, CEO, all these other things, titles, they're all masks. Who are we really? Best answer is, I don't know, but I'm willing to find out. As soon as I say, oh, I got an answer for that, oops, I got in the way again. I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm black, I'm white, I believe in this, I believe in that. I'm Catholic, I'm Protestant. They're all just titles. We're supposed to learn to say, I don't know, but I'm willing to find out. It's actually brilliant. Because when I say, I don't know, I'm willing to find out, you do know what I mean. I'm going to let God tell me. And God never, ever, ever gave us one little definition. You're going to be the smart one, or you're going to be the this or that or whatever. God never gave us a definition. Absolute, expansive love, wholeness, peace, bliss. But I said expansive because even if I say love or bliss or joy, it still sounds defined. It's consistently expansive joy. Does that mean that's what we feel all the time? No. And that's just exactly the problem. We have forgotten who we are. God said, let there be light. Why? Because God is bliss. God is like just absolute bliss. God is not a person. We will never know God while we think of God as a person. God is actually more known as a feeling than a person. Most of the time when people pass over with a near-death experience, most of the time the thing they describe when resuscitated and come back is there was this feeling of dot, dot, dot. Usually they don't say, and then his hair was this long or you know. we don't hear a lot of testimonies of that. Oh, and you know, his fingernails were kept just right. Why? Because it's not a person. Who's not a person? He is not, he's not a he. Well, then she is not. There's no she or he. However, we can use a metaphor of Father, Mother, God. Jesus is saying Father, because he's saying, because God is clearly a male. Jesus said Father, he could have said anything. He was trying to make a point. Try to imagine God being as close as your own parent. And that got twisted. It's just a struggle to be Jesus, you know, and talk to people. Okay, look, you remember all the conversations you've had over years of religious teaching and so on? I'm going to summarize it in Beatitudes. You know, be patient, be simple, be clear, etc. You know, just, but by the time he dies, he's like, you know, you guys are going to mess that up too, aren't you? So, let me try it again. Just love. Love God, love yourselves, love each other. The gospel in one word is love. And listen to some teachers, and it's amazing how it's anything but love. Yeah, we know he said love, but we have something else to share. You're going to go to hell. You know, it's like, what happened? What happened between love and I'm going to hell? What happened with that? Jesus never spoke the way people quote him to speak. Except one thing, one time only, one category of teaching only, did Jesus get firm with people. And do you know what that was about? Hypocrisy. It's the only time. If you take any time he sounded firm, it's always with one theme. And it's not like he's going, I love you, and I love you. Oh, and I love you too, children. Oh, and you, but I don't like you because you're a hypocrite. It's not like he picked people out. He's saying, anytime we are not congruent, we're in trouble. He wasn't saying, you hypocrites are bad. He said, anyone that is being a hypocrite is in a bad state of mind. Be honest with who you are. Be honest about the addict, the broken person, the sad person. You've been betrayed. Be honest. And clearly don't go out into the world and preach that you've healed all that when you haven't. Do not be incongruent. Let the outside be like the inside, and the inside like the outside. Say, here I am with all my mistakes. I'm not going to live regret. I've already had it. Now I need to be born again. Born again is not something that has to happen in the River Jordan. It's not something that has to happen only in blessed pools of water. Being born again is wherever you are. When you finally say, wait, let me get this straight. There's the old me that is this, that, and the other, defined in masks and defenses and, you know, false images of myself. I think I'm done. I think I've reached bottom. By the way, bottom doesn't have to be worse. Bottom can be any time you say enough is enough. You don't actually have to descend into hell to call it bottom. I mean, in case we missed the 411 on that, you know, simple fact, bottom is wherever I say that's enough. We can learn everything. You know, I'm doing a workshop later. You guys are welcome to join. But it's about that idea of we can only learn one of two ways, the hard way or the easy way. But we're always going to be learning. We're all on the spiritual path, even if it doesn't look like it. So we need to stop telling people they need to get on the path with us. That means they're not already on it. How could they not be on the spiritual path if we know that all beings have a spirit? If all beings have a spirit, that means any path they walk is a spiritual path. Well, you don't know my ex. He's definitely the exception to the rule. Actually, he also is on the spiritual path, learning the easy way or the hard way. And as long as you decide and choose to hate him, he's going to still learn the hard way. But so are you. The easy way means learning to surrender. Learning to say, you know, I do not know my own best interests. God, I'm willing for you to show me, to guide me. I apparently haven't been able to figure it all out yet. And I've only been incarnating for, what, a billion years? So maybe I should just go, you know, maybe I can't figure it out. In the beginning was God, and God was bliss. We can call that the Father aspect if we want, but there was God. And God said, now try to tune into this. Let there be light. And our intellect goes, yeah, something, isn't that when the sun was created? That's not when the sun was created. Read the Genesis. It's not when the sun was created. When God said, let there be light, was the day you were born. When bliss said, let there be light, it meant God, which is bliss, decided to expand itself and create more of itself. And that's the day we were all born. We are the light of God. Whew. Did you feel that? And then, wow. And we're like, whoa, what just happened? Oh, man, I don't know, but it feels really good. This is amazing. What are we? We're the light of God. Where are we? In God. Where's God? Heaven. Because heaven is actually the mind of God, the consciousness of God. Heaven isn't where God lives. Like, north side of heaven, south side, you know. Where's God? Oh, God, on the east side today. Heaven is the consciousness of God. Where did God create us? In itself. God didn't go, here I am, let there be light, and good luck. You know? Hope it works out. How can you be outside of God? We were taught even as little kids sometimes in catechisms and different Bible studies, God is everywhere. Remember that line? Well, if it's true, then where can you be that is outside of God? And if God is heaven, then that means heaven is everywhere. Buddha said, heaven is everywhere, but you have to lift the veils to see it. So what does it all mean? God is everywhere, but be careful. Because some people who don't know better will tell you. And that means God is everywhere. God is on earth and it's over there and it's over there. And God is in that abuse. And God somewhere is in war. And be careful, that's not what we're saying. God is actually everywhere, but what we see is a veil over what is God. You have to lift the veils to see it. Don't call horrible things God. Don't justify abuse and racism and trauma as, well, somehow that's God. You walk up to, thank you, hon, it's okay. And somebody says, how are you doing today? And you go, well, horrible things have just happened. I just found out my partner betrayed me, took off with my best friend, and they happened to move all the money in a different account. I got nothing. And how do you feel when they go, it's all good? You know, just shake them up, man. Shake them up. No. Restrain yourselves. You might want to choke them, but hang up. Just wait. What they're saying deserves this. they know not what they say. Forgive them, they know not what they say. But they've been going to church for a while, and they seem to know. They have all kinds of cool bumper stickers that say it's all good and stupid things like that. It's not accurate. It's not all good. Only that which is real is good. But we manufactured a world that is not God's. There is but God, but we can make believe there's something else. Because we have free will. We're never creating something else, but we can make believe. All since the beginning of time, God said, here I am, bliss, in my image you are. Boom, let there be light. We're created in God and in heaven. But this doesn't feel like heaven. So how do you answer all this? We didn't go somewhere else. So what happened? There's heaven, and we said to ourselves, I wonder what it would be like if we would be anywhere but with God. And as soon as we thought it, thoughts create or make believe. When we said, I wonder what it would be like if we weren't one with God, we went into a trance and started imagining what life would be like without God. And that's called life on earth. God did not create lack in any way. Then how do you have lack? God does not discern races. Then how did it happen? God has never encouraged us to be hurtful or abusive or to be abused. Then how did it happen? That's a contradiction. No, it's just a paradox of sorts. Because there is one dimension right here called God, heaven, reality, and there's one we stuck in front of it, which is called our opinions. God says, in my image you are created. We said, well, not so much. God said, everyone is an expression of the light of God. And we say, well, you don't know the family I had. We keep putting things in front of the truth of God, which means what? The light of God is shining down on us always, because this is still heaven. We just can't see it anymore because of judging ourselves for separating from God, judging ourselves for judging each other as being less than God created them to be. Judgment is the one and only thing that keeps us from seeing the light of God everywhere we look. Close the eyes. Jesus said, let thine eye be single. He was talking about the third eye. Let the eye of God teach you what you see. I think I see men and women. I think I see black and white. But then stop and go, isn't that funny? When I open these eyes, it keeps lying to me. I look and there's a man, then there's a woman, and that one's ugly and that one's cute, and it's all a lie. When I close my eyes and say, God, how would you have me see them? What you're really saying is, show me how to see your children the way you see them. And it never is defined. It's a feeling, and it's only a feeling of bliss. When I shut my head off, my mind off, my thinker, my inner critic, that bit from the tree of judgment instead of the tree of forgiveness, then I open these eyes. That's what the Bible told us. If you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened. That's the deeper metaphysical interpretation of Genesis, the story of the trees. If you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened, said the ego or Satan or whatever you want to call it, the serpent. If you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened. And you know what that meant? That meant when we decided to become judgmental, we opened these eyes and started seeing with our opinions. Biting from the tree of forgiveness means these eyes close, not literally, but they close. This eye opens, and I start to see people as God created them to be. And when I do, it's not a perceptual visual, it's a feeling. And I start to just go, wow, my God, there's nothing but light in everyone. Now, even though I see that there's nothing but light in everyone, it's fantastic. There's this wave. There's this feeling of like, whoa. The same feeling they describe in life after death experiences, near death experiences. There was this absolute peace. I saw everyone as one. That's what we're supposed to be doing anyway. So, when we get to that, now what? Now do we just walk around going, God, isn't this amazing? We could. But while on earth, you're supposed to know the truth that God is and that there is only love, but respect the illusion, which is, wow, everyone's just glowing light. But you still need your diabetic medicine. So take it. But you learn to take it now with a bit of a sense of humor. Isn't this funny? That I still believe enough in this world and not completely in God yet that I play the game here. Just play the game. Don't judge it. You still have things to do. Don't just go, I would have picked you up at school today, kids, but guess what? I was blissing out. And we're all one, so you can go home to anybody's house, really. It doesn't matter. Because they will rightfully put you away. And God's going to be like, I told you to go get the kids. You weren't listening, you know? So we're supposed to be practical. We're supposed to know the truth of God, but respect the illusion. So the bliss of God said, let there be light. And the light said, I wonder what if there was a way to live without God. What would it look like? Bless you. What would it look like? And we're experiencing the effects of that. We put on, instead of putting on the mind of Christ, like it's described in the Bible, we put on a holographic visual headset that showed us what life would be like. And so we have now a hologram showing us what life would have been like if we could ever separate from God. Good news is we never really separated. The bad news is we believe we did, and now we're living the results. How do we deal with that? What do we do now? Every day, it's step by step. You know, you've heard of 12-step programs. It's a day at a time. What are you recovering from? Alcohol? No. This is a 12-step recovery from being on earth. We need a 12-step from earth program. Yeah. Where we learn to recognize, can't do this alone. I need to rely upon a power beyond my memory of myself. God. I need to recognize and do some inventory of where I mess up and where my beliefs actually, I'm buying into beliefs of judgment, clear myself, and then come to a place of, I woke up, and now I'm going to share that with others, just like a 12-step program. Buddhism, A Course in Miracles, the 12-step program, they can actually all be summarized in just three steps, just three phases. The first in all those programs, call them anything, but they're all just saying three things. Connect with God more effectively. Secondly, let the connection with God help change you as a person. Means you now heal, work on yourself. Third, once you've established some of that, bring it to others. And you notice there's an order I just gave you. God, self, and others. That's why I emphasized in my relationship book, there's only three relationships you can have. The Sufi agree with this. One is with God, one is with self, and one is with others. The problem is people either forget this entirely or they change the order. You cannot change the order. God first, myself, and then others. Other people, codependents, they're going to go, oh no, others first. No, you go looking for to others to give you what you're missing in God and yourself. You go to try to compensate with others what's missing in you and God. Get reconnected with God. Get reconnected with God. And it's not like, okay, I guess, you know, now I'm going to start getting all spiritual. You know, like, bummer. Reconnecting with God gives you energy. Like, it's like you're plugged in. And then when you apply that to yourself, oh my God, I'm healing. I see my issues. I'm doing self-inventory. I'm being responsible. You know, it's like, it's one of those words that's so heavy for people. Because we go, okay, I got to start. I was happy, but then I started having to become responsible. You know, people think like, oh, bummer. Responsible means all the times I chose to let people harm and affect me in a negative way, I'm done with that. I'm going to be responsible enough to say no thanks. And then I set healthier boundaries in my life. Others are actually just an effect. They're last, but people want to make them first in a sometimes horrible kind of way. You're not supposed to go to people to get the love you don't have inside. You're supposed to bring the abundance of love you have. How would it make any sense for somebody to say, okay, I'm going to enter the 12-step program of any kind today. Let me tell you about the program, by the way. Seconds later, it's like, you're not even in the program, through the program, and you're already preaching to me? It doesn't make sense. Don't keep trying to deal with others when you haven't had any amount of adequate work on yourself. If you say, I'm totally changing, man. I have had 5 very harmful relationships, betrayal and codependence of every kind, terrible. So I'm done with those people. Now I'm going to find somebody who's healthy. Wait a minute. If you're still the same, what makes you think, oh no, but I know now what to look for? No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, I do. It's men that I shouldn't be with. It's women I shouldn't be with. Tall people. You know, you can try to classify. Green eyes, don't ever try. All my exes had green eyes. You can't pinpoint it because you're not even looking the right direction. What have you found out about yourself? Well, you know, people just abuse me, people this, me, and they do this to me. And that. But why? How did that happen? What, did you just happen to create psychic people that knew your weaknesses? You're putting out this vibe. You know, Beaker, beep, beep, you know, use me. And how are some of the hurtful people out there going to not be attracted to that? Wow, check that out. That person's got a little beeper that puts out a signal. You can use me. You know, and I'll tolerate it for a while. It's people can see you coming. That's got to go. You got to take off those little, you know, beepers or whatever. You got to take them off, become a different person, and be born again. Bliss created its children. Its children are called the light of God. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he was affirming it for all of us. You are the light of God made manifest. God said, let there be light, and we were created. And we said, but what if there was something else? And now we're living the something else. The good news is, the Father aspect of God that created us and watched us start to go into a trance, believing there was somewhere else, the Father aspect of God said to the Mother aspect of God, which is called love, honey, yes, sweetheart, do me a favor, yes, take care of the kids. Look, they're going into a trance. They're actually thinking they're going somewhere else. So the mother became the love of God and went out here and caught us. She's, the mother means matter. They come from the same root word. The divine mother is matter. The material matter universe is actually the womb of God. The love, the mother aspect of God, the womb that receives the children. And she said, hello, beloveds. We were like, whoa. Where'd you come from? I was sent by God to catch you when you left thinking you left heaven and shot yourselves into the material universe. So I became the universe. That's why the divine mother, in symbolism, Tarot or in Catholicism, the universal mother, they sometimes call her. She's this beautiful divine woman. And she has 12 stars of a crown of 12 stars around her head. The 12 stars means all of the zodiac. It means all of the constellations. It means I am the master of the universe because she's the mother. So the divine mother says, I catch you, and my main job, beloveds, is since I'm the mother, the matter, I'm going to materialize all of your thoughts for you. How are you doing today? Not so good. All she can do is freeze frame to show you that. So the mother keeps reflecting to us through her universe where we're at. She would love to reflect that you're one with God. But her infinite patience and love is going to say, I'm going to reflect wherever you at. Why? Just to show you how miserable you are. No. She's saying, because I'll even reflect your misery so that you might say today, enough is enough. That's how perfectly patient the mother aspect of God is. And that's why we are told the divine mother, not just the mommies, the divine feminine in every one of us has to be that perfect. That is to say, the divine in me, the divine mother aspect in me, the divine father says, Michael, time to start a new day. Okay, I start my new day. The divine mother now has to say, and guess what? Some of our children, which is going to be the people you meet today, have forgotten who they are. Your job is to ask me how to help you see the divinity in them when they have forgotten. And that's what the immaculate birth means. That the divine mother, the virgin birth, means she's going to have immaculate conception. Every day you are supposed to ask God to help you have an immaculate concept of other people. How can I look at other people and see a divine image? Well, I almost pulled it off, but then, you know who I'm married to, you know. And it's no matter who, no matter what, all of the images that were once dark are going to be brought to light. But are you going to do it today? Or do you want to wait another 10 lifetimes? You get to choose when, how long. But why would we wait? So coming towards a close, there's a big wheel turning. It started, I'm one with God, and it looks like it's gone way out here, far away. And after thousands of lifetimes, some people would tell you, you might eventually wake up and say, oh, God, that was a journey and a half. But notice, it was a journey without distance to a place you never left. So it starts in God. That's what God says. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And we go, well, that's pretty big, man. That's amazing. He's going, you know, God's saying, you don't understand what I just said. It means everything begins and ends in me. So if you think you're far away from me, how could you be far away? It begins and ends in me. I'm in the now. Just come to the now, stop living the hurts and the fears of the past, and you'll find me, which is then going to be to find yourself. We are not on a journey learning. We're just actually trying to peel layers off that keep us from knowing. There's learning and there's knowing. The good news is learning is still getting somewhere. But eventually when you know, you'll realize all that learning only got me where I was already at. Yeah, I've got that right now. Think that through. No. Do you see? I'm just remembering. How cool is that? It's easier when I know that I'm already there. I don't have to earn the love of God. I am actually the embodiment of the love of God. And as I remember, that's why I start to feel good. When I'm being a good and decent person, it feels good because it's my nature. It's always easier to do things that are natural than it is to fabricate. I notice that I'm not as tired when I have, at work, when I'm at a job that feels congruent with my soul's purpose. Isn't that easier? Okay, then let's do that. I notice that my relationships are always easier when I'm in a relationship with a soulmate instead of a cellmate. You know? I don't want to be imprisoned with somebody. You know? You know, I want to be alive. You know, and that doesn't mean finding someone that just, I love you, no, I love you more, no, I love you more, no, I love you. It doesn't mean that, because that's just codependence. The soulmate means primarily the same spiritual ideals and direction. Let's go. Now, some of you are going to think, oh, geez, I'm going to have a conversation when I get home because they're not on the path. Well, remember, maybe you weren't on the path either when you met. So instead of expecting them to apologize because they're not on your path, how about remembering to be patient enough to say, you know what, honey, I realized something today where I was thinking before, I wish you'd come with me. I was realizing, you know what, wait a minute. I'm the one who changed. I started getting more spiritual, and I'm really sorry about that. Not sorry that I got on the path, but that it might have been hard for you because that's not where we met. That's not where we were coming from at the time. So I changed the rules. You know, own some humility. Give them some slack. Give them a little of your patience. I'm not saying stay. Stay or leave is going to be determined on, I've made some changes, but I got to tell you, honey, this is now where I'm going, and it's not going to change. This is like forever. This isn't a phase I'm going through. This is forever. Oh, I thought it was just kind of a menopause thing. No. No, for me, menopause is to pause on men. So, I'm only channeling you, so don't blame me. So I'm pausing on men. I'm now going to pause on that and go here. And this is forever. I would love for you to join me in this walk. Can you? And let them answer. When they say no, you say, are you sure? They say no and say, okay, now you have to decide. Can this walk still be done with us differing like that? And that sometimes can happen. Other times we realize, wow, I need to mourn the loss of this because it was beautiful, but now I'm going in a new direction. And you might have to accept that. One thing's for sure, to thine own spiritual self be true. Not to thine own ego self, to thine own spiritual self. Dropping masks, dropping all the stuff, and saying it's like the Pinocchio story at the end. I've become a real boy. How did Pinocchio become a real boy in the story? When he stopped thinking selfishly and so addictively, and he kept going by compulsions and deception, lying to himself and others. When he finally gave all that up and said, you know what? Doing good is the right thing. He dove in to save his father from drowning, and that's where he became a real boy. When we recognize who we are, what we're here to do, and then bring that goodness to others, we become real, inside and out. When you see me, you see the Father, as Jesus put it. So in closing, the big wheel is turning, and that's the beginning all the way back. But inside that, there's little wheels that if those are spun faster, the big wheel would turn faster. So correct your relationship wheel. Correct your belief system wheel. Keep doing your inner healing. How long do I need to do that? Till you're in heaven again. That's all. Just keep going. It's not like an ending date, but it's not the opposite either. When some people say the work never ends, that's not true. But you do the work until it does. This is not a quick fix. This is a maintenance program. Learning to be forgiving is not an event. It's a process. And I'm going to work it every day. When you do the 12-step program and you think, well, I'm going to stay in the program. Some of us think, well, why do you stay in the program if you're healed? Because it's a maintenance program. It's not just a fix-me program. So if the 12 steps from earth is to be applied, then that means I'm in the 12-step recovery program from earth, and it's an ongoing program. Not because I'm anything bad or wrong, but this is actually, the 12-step program is a spiritual program. When a guy named Bill put together, you know, this idea of a 12-step program for AA, called AA, he went to a gentleman named Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce channeled to Bill and said, you're going to create a program. And Cayce not only said, here's what you're going to do, and gave him that guidance from God, he said to Bill, you are actually capable of channeling God yourself. Which Cayce didn't say to everybody. So Bill actually channeled that material. The same as Helen channeled A Course in Miracles, Moses channeled what he channeled, and so on. They all deserve equal credit because they opened themselves up to become more like God and to share the Word of God. And everybody in this room and on this planet is not only destined, you know, like capable of that, we're destined to do that. But we will all move from the, I'm going to channel a poem, to becoming the poem, to becoming what we channeled. The old school of channeling was people who were completely dysfunctional channeling to people. The new school is you have to become what you channel. So when you read your daily word and you sing your songs, be careful what you ask for. When you want to sing those songs, whether it's Amazing Grace or whatever else it is, ask yourself how it applies to you. I said in the first service one thing that I'm repeating here, and one, I think just about one thing only, and that is when you come here today or go to any workshop or read any book or do any meditation, I'm telling you full on, you are not supposed to be the same when you're done. If you are, you need to get a different book or meditation. But the one person that decides, I entered this relation and I exited exactly the same, I'm still just as dysfunctional. It isn't your partner that failed you, you did. Because even if they're totally messed up, what did you learn? Well, nothing, because they were so messed up. Wow. How about learning not to be with messed up people? I mean, come up with something. Come up with something. You read the book. What did you learn? It's a terrible book. How much did you read? The whole thing. Then why'd you keep reading it? You could have just read it and said after two pages, I learned this is not a book for me. Learn, constantly learn something, because then you'll always have every wheel turning, and it turns the greater wheel much quicker. It brings it to completion much faster, more efficiently. That way we're not in this delusion and illusion of life for thousands and thousands of more years or lifetimes. How about now? I've told people many times, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Taoist, I'm a Naoist. I believe we can experience God right now by choice. And God agrees. God doesn't say, I would love you children to come home, but let's take you a while. You're not there yet. You're not perfect. God said, wait a minute, I don't get it. I created you perfect. You can't leave me. So where are you and what are you trying to do? We're on our way, Lord. We're just got more karma. I got some past life stuff. There is no time and there's no past. You don't understand life on earth, Lord. Just back off. So we are recreating, we're manufacturing our own reality. The good news is it's a lowercase r. It's not the reality of God, which means then it has absolutely no power over us. And let's remember that and breathe that in as we prepare for meditation. This world, the one we see, is not the one God created. Therefore, it's not real. If God didn't create it, it can't be real. And therefore, it has no power over me. Breathe into the idea. Wow, wait a minute. Even if you don't understand the idea, just try it on. What if it's true that nothing of the limiting world has power over you, an unlimited being? It's logical, it's rational, it's spiritual, it's inspirational. The things I thought had power over me do not. Giving up judgment doesn't just mean I'm going to try not to judge. It means the things I judged were things like people that have been harmful to me. But that means they had power over me. And then that means I thought they had power, so I actually need to forgive myself for creating this, but also for believing that anybody had power. Tune into all the people and events in your life with which you've struggled. Be open-hearted about it. Let them all come forward. Let the Divine Mother help us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Shekinah. Let her help us, saying, sweetheart, what's going on? Let her search your soul and open you up. The things you don't want to think about, the things you don't want to remember. If you can't do it here, where are you going to be able to do it? Bring them forward. Hear the mother ask you, my beloved, what has made you angry in your life? And breathe into that for a moment. Just answer her from your heart, quietly. Doesn't have to be out loud, right? Just answer her with words in your mind. Tell the mother, just like the child whose skin, you know, is ripped on the knee and it's there to get the knee all cleaned up. So bring your heart. What has made you angry? Speak it from your heart into your mind. Tell the truth, how it felt. What has made you angry? My beloved, what has made you sad in this lifetime? And answer the question. Whether you're man or woman, old or young, answer the question. What has made you sad? My beloved, what has made you most afraid? Speak it. Have no rocks left unturned. Why would we hide anything from God or ourselves? If we do, then outer people are going to manifest it for us and annoy us. Let's bring it out. And lastly, my beloved, what has made you most frustrated? Answer the question. Come to know consciously, this is the broken me that I'm bringing to the altar. Here's what has made me angry and afraid. No place is hidden, which then keeps me stuck in the fear-based illusions of this world. Here's my fears. Here are my wounds, my angers. Bring it all to the altar. It's okay to cry. And hear these words from the Divine Mother. My beloved, all is well. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now hear quietly in your heart the words thank you a few times, gently, sincerely. And before you're done, start to imagine, if I'm now going to be different when I leave this room today, in what way might I most expect that to be? How might I be different as a mother having done this today? If I surrendered some anger, sadness, fear, how might I be different as a mom, as a partner, as a lover, as a friend, as an employee, as an employer? Spend the last minute in quiet, viewing detail of how it's going to be different. The last step after then giving thanks is to go out there and actually do it. But right now, program it into the matrix of life by envisioning it. This works. We said goodbye to the old to a new level. We're welcoming in the new. Bless us, God, and give us peace instead. Joy, several breaths, breathing in the presence of God. Imagine it. Call in love and self-worth. Call in peace and joy. Call in a word or two that makes sense to you. Fill up with it for the next half dozen breaths. Just fill up more and more. And envision a new life. And in about 1 minute, quietly give thanks. But then remember, you have to go and live it. In about a minute, we'll move on to the next part of the service. But take your time with it.
Alrighty, and if anyone is here for the first time, if you would please raise your hand and keep it held up high. We want to welcome you. We have swoopers coming in with packages. And you can take these